Today's Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I promise you, it won't be the last time these ladies are with us. Amen. We're gonna move them up here. Praise God. They sing in North Carolina enough. Praise God. We'll get them up here and enjoy their fellowship. Just a blessing. And I like being around people that are real. Amen. And they're Alabama fans, but we're praying for them. Amen. And we're praying they'll get right. Amen. Thank God for their testimony. Psalm 23, and if you're willing and are physically able, let's stand together in honor of reverence to the Word of God tonight. I'm going to try to preach about 20 minutes. I didn't say how hard I was going to try, but I said I was going to try to preach 20 minutes, all right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I kind of felt like that verse tonight, amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word tonight. As we mentioned this morning, as we come to Psalm 23, we find that it is in between, of course, Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. We stated that Psalm 22, of course, pictures Mount Calvary, and Psalm 24 pictures Mount Zion. So between two mountains, you have a valley. And I like this principle: for every mountain, there's always two valleys. Remember that, amen. And so I find in Psalm 23, I was reading today even some more study in Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 24, you have three pictures. In Psalm 22, you have the cross. Psalm 23, you have the crook, which is that shepherd's staff. In Psalm 24, you have that crown that a king wears. Psalm 22, you have grace. Psalm 23, you have guidance. In Psalm 24, you have glory. Psalm 22, you have provision. Psalm 23, you have protection. Psalm 24, you have a prospect. Psalm 22, you have yesterday. Psalm 23, you have today. And Psalm 24, you have forever. Psalm 22, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, the great shepherd guides and guards for the sheep. In Psalm 24, the glorious shepherd returns to reign and to reward the sheep. Psalm 22, a hand is scarred and stained with blood. Psalm 23, a hand is secure, is there to sustain and to secure. And then Psalm 24, there is a hand that is sovereign over Satan and over sin. Psalm 22, the shepherd is on a cross and he took care of my past. Psalm 23, the shepherd is our companion and he takes care of my present. And Psalm 24, the shepherd is the conqueror and he takes care of my future. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I know who the shepherd is. And we dealt in the first part of the psalm this morning in Psalm 23 where the Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we can quote this psalm, we know this psalm, but I wonder, do we know the shepherd tonight? Do we know who the psalmist is talking about here? We said this morning that you can break up this psalm into two parts. You can break it up verse 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 4, 5, and 6. Verse 1, 2, and 3, you've got a sheep sticking his head through the fence telling another sheep about how great his shepherd is. You'll notice all the he's. He. But then in verse 4, 5, and 6, you have the sheep telling the shepherd how wonderful he is. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And yes, we need to tell a lost and dying world how wonderful he is. But also, we need to tell the shepherd himself how wonderful and how great he is tonight. So this morning, we dealt with the Lord as my shepherd. We said he is prominent. We said he is personal, and we said he is passionate. It is my desire tonight to finish up verse number 1 and maybe step into verse 2 a little bit. I want to preach out of verse number 1, I shall not want. I shall not want. This morning, by the way, my title this morning was, "The Lord is my shepherd." My title tonight, I shall not want. I believe in preaching the Bible, amen. I notice when I read this phrase, this little four-word phrase, I shall not want. By the way, there's 9 words in verse 1 and 9 is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I shall not want. And when I see that little phrase, Brother Richie, I think of 3 words that come to mind. First of all, when I see that phrase, I shall not want, I think of the word sufficiency. I think that He is sufficient. The word sufficient means He's qualified for any purpose. He has adequate power or ability. Can I say that describes our Savior tonight? First of all, I see there's the awareness of self. Notice He said, I. He reminds Himself of who He is. He's a nobody. He's just a little sheep. You know, a little sheep has no defense. It has nothing in and of itself that can help itself. And may I remind us tonight that in and of ourselves we are helpless. We cannot do anything on our own. In fact, the Bible says not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth. And I tell you, sometimes the flesh and your heart will fail because we are made of the dirt. We are made of flesh, and we need to realize that we are nothing in and without ourselves. There is the awareness of self, but then there is the ability of the shepherd. Over there in 2 Corinthians 3:5, it said, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm telling you tonight, my help is not based on who I am. My help is not based on what I can do for myself, but my help coming from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad we serve an all sufficient God. And as a little lamb in the flock of God, I'm glad I can say the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Praise God. Amen. There's the awareness of self, the ability of the shepherd. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was writing, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Notice, I like that Paul did not identify what his thorn was. He just said it was a thing. Because you know what? We can identify that. We all have things we have to deal with. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And notice what God said to him. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul could say, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why I said, well, Paul, you didn't know where Paul said this. Well, I do know he could have said this. Paul could have said, well, God ain't going to remove the thorn, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want for grace, because He said His grace will be sufficient for me. And can I say this tonight? God is not a respecter of persons. And if God's grace was sufficient for Paul, God's grace will be sufficient for you and I tonight. Yes, the awareness of self, the ability of the shepherd. Then there's the authority of the saved. Notice He said, I shall not want. There's confidence in what He's saying. He said, I'm confident that I'm not going to have any wants. But then there's comfort in what He says. I shall not want. That word want means I won't have any needs. Won't have anything He won't take care of. So when I think of this phrase, I shall not want, I think about sufficiency. But secondly, the second word that came to my heart was security. Security. The word security, of course, means freedom from fear or apprehension, confidence or safety. I noticed three things about this security. First of all, I notice we have security in the area of peace. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, the shepherd knows when the sheep needs to rest. I was watching a shepherd today, and he was saying that sheep will go and go and go and go and go, and they're so dumb, they don't even know when they're supposed to rest. That's what the man said. He said, so the shepherd has to make the sheep. That's why I love how the scientists and how the farmers catch up with the Bible. He said, we have to make the sheep lie down to rest. And that not why David said, He maketh me. Sometimes, well, God, I can go on, but God knows when we need to rest, and God knows when we need strength. We get tired because of the extreme wilderness, the emotional weakness, the extra work, and exhausted workers. We get tired. But you know what? I'm glad that the shepherd will make us lie down in the green pastures. One writer said, why does the shepherd make the sheep rest? He said, because the shepherd can see much farther than the sheep can. He sees the mountains that are up ahead. He sees the valleys up ahead. He knows they can't make it today. So he said, today we're not going to... I wish I had somebody. He said, we're not going to go any farther today. We're going to hang out in these green pastures for a little while. Because I know there's some difference. You remember there in the book of Exodus chapter number 15 when they come to that place of Marah where the waters were bitter and God made the waters sweet and God let them stay there for a little while. You know why? He knew there was a wilderness out there. He knew there were some hard times. He let them leave Marah and they went to a place called Elim. And there they stayed at Elim. They dwelled at Elim. They encamped around Elim. At Elim there were 12 wells and 70 palm trees. You see, they wanted to stay at Marah, but Moses and God knew there was better land up ahead. So when they got to Elim, God said, let's let them rest for a little while. Because he knew Amalek was ahead. He knew there were battles with the flesh ahead. And I'm glad my shepherd knows what's ahead. Yeah. Somebody said, preacher, I just don't feel like I'm going anywhere in my Christian life right now. Hang on, child of God. He might be letting you lay in the green pastures. Let you rest a little bit. Because he knows there's some mountains ahead. He knows there's some valleys ahead. And he knows you're going to need help and strength. God knows what he's doing. The area of peace. Then in the area of provision. Look on in verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, a sheep will not drink out of running water. A good shepherd, I watched this today. A good shepherd says, a sheep will not drink out of running water. They're so skittish, they're so timid, they're so fretful that the shepherd has to find a place where the water is still. And if he can't find a place where the water is still, he'll dam up a place in the river so the water will get still. So the sheep can drink. And I'm glad if God has to throw a tree in the waters, if he has to even get it out of a rock, he'll get you the water you need. If he has to go get a raven to bring you a hamburger every day by the brook, he'll do it, praise God. If he has to go down the Nain and get the widow's barrel and just a handful here and there, he will take care of you. That man I watched today, that's a shepherd, I was watching him today. He said, I'll do whatever I have to make sure my sheep have water. And I'm glad that I've got the water tonight. And it's still, that still water is a picture of the Word of God. And I'm glad that men suffered and bled and died, but God done everything he could to get me some still water that I can get in my... I'm trying to hurry. That 20-minute promise is going very quickly. But I'm glad there's still water and I have security in the area of provision. Amen. Bible said, boy, I like this. Can I read a few verses to you? Luke chapter 12. He said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than eat meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more better are ye than the fowls? And which of you, by thought can take, taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye being then not able to do it which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not and spend not. Yea, I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Amen. O ye of little faith, and ye shall seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful. For all these things of the nature of the world seek after. For your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I love the next four words. Fear not, little flock. Amen. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father. I'm just telling you tonight, if God will take care of the lilies, if he'll take care of the sparrow, if he'll clothe the grass, honey, he's going to take care of you and I. Fear not, little flock. The area of peace, the area of provision, then the area of protection. Verse 4. I'm not dealing with all these verses, I'm just pulling some stuff out. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I study in the day. Sheep have no defense mechanisms. They're a defenseless animal. They have no claws. Their teeth are not real sharp. In fact, they cannot even scratch a flea. Can't even take care of a flea. They're helpless. Can't do anything. Did you realize that? And I know some of you pet owners ain't going to believe this. But your kitty cat and your doggy, if you put it outside, it will adapt to the weather. It'll adapt. It'll find food. It'll find shelter. It's built into an animal. But not a sheep. A sheep without a shepherd will die. Wish I had somebody. And those who don't have Jesus, they will die. They will die. They have no hope in themselves. They have no defense. And when the wolf and when the bear comes out, they're defenseless. And that's why David gave that testimony. He said, I'm telling you right now, a lion and a bear came after one of mine and took him, and I went and got him. He couldn't help himself. So I went and helped him. And I wonder if David had that story in mind when he wrote Psalm 23. I guarantee you that little sheep, when David went and got him back, he wasn't scared of anything. Because he knew the shepherd loved him enough to come out where he was and get him, praise God. Number three. We might hit that 20-minute promise. Sufficiency. Security. Here's the third word. Satisfaction. I shall not want. I don't see that sheep saying, well, it looks like that other shepherd over there is treating his flock a whole lot better. Said no one ever. You ain't never heard a Christian say, well, I'll tell you, I wish I was lost. If they was really saved, you ain't never met somebody say, well, I wish I was lost and in the world again. Hashtag said no one ever. Because if you've ever really been saved, if you've met the shepherd, you're satisfied. You're satisfied. You don't want to go back to Egypt. You don't want to go back to the world. But you, oh sure, that flesh wants to. But I'm talking about that inner man. You don't want to go back. You know there's nothing left but pain and heartache. But you know your shepherd's been mighty good to you. He's been feeding you and taking care of you. I'm glad I know the shepherd tonight. I'm satisfied with his promise. You can trust his word. I'm satisfied with the path he's leading me. Satisfied with it, praise God. I'm glad he's leading me. I'm glad he knows what he's doing. Thought about that old song. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some of you been there? Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. But hallelujah, we all came through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. I like this. Through his grace we can conquer defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. I'm satisfied with the path. Satisfied with the promise. And last of all, I'm satisfied with His person. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. George Henderson said, I shall not want for rest, refreshment, preservation, guidance, peace, companionship, comfort, or anything. I shall not want. One writer said, I shall not want. When bread ceases, man shall not live by bread alone. When toll comes, we toiled all night and caught nothing. When the purse is empty, he'll send me a fish with a coin in his mouth. When the wolf comes, he'll give his life for the sheep. I shall not want. His riches are unsearchable. His joy is unspeakable. His power is unlimited. His faithful is unfailing. His word is unshakable. And His love is unchanging. This is a verse of God's goodness and grace, Dr. Billy Kinoy wrote. It presents an analogy of the shepherd and his total provision for the sheep. The ability is never in the sheep, but is always in the shepherd. We, like sheep, are helpless and entirely dependent on our shepherd. This word won't, I'll give you this and I'm done. Brother Mike, I want you to get your guitar and do all that again tonight. The word won't here in this text has changed its meaning over the year, but it really means to worry over. Worry is a sin, did you know that? The Bible said, be careful for nothing. And how we are humans, we're prone to worry. We worry over our families. We worry over our foes, over food, over finances, over friends, over our future. But we don't have to worry. When sickness comes, when sorrow comes, when shadows come, or when the silent reaper comes. You know why? The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Brother Larry was testifying in the prayer room about this. If you heard it, you're going to have to hear it again. Joe Parsons told it. Joe Parsons says, a little girl supposed to get out and quote that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And she got out there in front of all those people and all those eyes staring back at her. You know, if there's 100 people in here tonight, there's 200 eyes looking at me. You ever thought about that? You'll get that after a while, amen. You want to double your crowd? Just cross your eyes. You'll have double, amen. She saw all those people looking at her, and she's supposed to quote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But she got so nervous, and she got so bothered, she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. Can I say she really wasn't that far off? I quote it often. There's three stages of the Christian life. He's all I need. He's all I have. He's all I want. Now, He's all I need when you first get saved. And man, yeah, He's all I need. When you grow more in the Lord, you'll find He's all you have. But then He wants to get you to that point where He's all you want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand together. Sing on, Brother Mike.